Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Stephanie L. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Thursday, January 11th, 2024, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we are on page XXVIII in the doctor's opinion. Third full paragraph beginning with, if any feel that a psychiatrist, ending with the altruistic movement now growing up among them. We are reading and commenting on just one paragraph this morning. Today's readers are Sherry Z, who will be reading the text, Hillary B, reading page 164, and Polly Q is our backup reader today. Newcomer greeter is Sherry M, and announcements will be Leslie M. The reference number, reference ID number for yesterday, Wednesday, January 11th, actually that would be Wednesday, January 10th, 2024 is 2028 or 21028. And today's 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 21030. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Mary Frances W. to please read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous.
Thank you. Good morning. It's Mary Frances W. from Pennsylvania. And here are the 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unbearable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Ten, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me be of service, and I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Mary Frances W. I will now ask Mary B. to please read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous.
This is Robin B., the 12 traditions.
I'm so sorry, Robin.
That's okay. The 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal and recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, The only requirement for OA membership is the desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend OA name any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems with money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me serve.
And thank you so much, Robin B. Really appreciate it. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and the literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to remute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We're in the doctor's opinion, and we're on page XXVIII. We're reading that third full paragraph, beginning with, if any feel that as psychiatrists, ending with, the altruistic movement now growing up among them. We are reading and commenting on just one paragraph this morning, and I will now ask Sherry Z to please begin reading.
Good morning, visionaries. I'm Sherry Z, recovered in Southern California, but actually today calling from Tucson, Arizona. Thank you, everybody, for your service. And here we go. If any feel that as psychiatrists directing a hospital for alcoholics, we appear somewhat sentimental, let them stand with us a while on the firing line. See the tragedies, the despairing lives, the little children. Let the solving of these problems become a part of their daily work and even of their sleeping moments. And the most cynical will not wonder that we have accepted and encouraged this movement. We feel, after many years of experience, that we have found nothing which has contributed more to the rehabilitation of these men than the altruistic movement now growing up among them. Again, Sherry, recovered in Tucson today. So rich of a paragraph. The doctor is telling us that I'm not an alcoholic, but I can get as close to what the suffering of the alcoholic is because I've been standing on the firing line. And so every other doctor out there, anybody who's cynical, who thinks that, you know, we're motivated by some other purely self-interest or for purely gain. I'm not an alcoholic. This is what the doctor's saying, but I have gotten so close. I've been in the firing line and I see there's nothing else. And that kind of affirmation from someone who's not a compulsive overeater, not an alcoholic, is very validating, because here's a medical doctor who's saying, like, you know, I'm as close as I could possibly be, and nothing else has worked. And as a compulsive overeater, I am the firing line, right? I've seen what this disease has done to my ability to be present, my ability to have relationships, for my ability to sit at a party and only think about the food and not about anyone else. I've seen that it's allowed to distract me from being entirely present for the joy and the gifts that God has bestowed upon me. And today, recovered, I get to have this life that I'm entirely present for, which doesn't mean that it's like every day is like, you know, rainbows and sunshine. It means that I get to be here now, sitting on the floor of a friend's house in the middle of Arizona, and my priority is my recovery. I can't wait to see all of you at the birthday party. I'm so grateful to everybody who does service to make this altruistic movement truly happen. And I can't wait to hear from each of you. So thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Sherry Z. Well, we are now going to open the meeting for sharing. Although we value your experience, we ask that you please limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. If you shared on Tuesday or Wednesday on any vision meeting, please allow others the opportunity to share today. Please keep your shares to 3 minutes to allow time for as many people as possible to share. We got lots of people on the line every morning. It'd be great to hear from different people. I'll remind you with the timer when your time is up. And when you hear the timer, please finish up promptly so we can have time for others, and get time for others to share too. So I'm going to get the first line up here. If you can please give your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from, and who would like to share.
Janice K.
Loretta A.
I got Janice K. I got Loretta. And Loretta.
Mary Ellen T.
That's right.
I'll Mary Ellen T.
Okay, we got Mary Ellen C. Do we have anyone else who wants to get in this first lineup?
Lori D, California.
Was that Lori D?
Yep.
Okay, gotcha. All right, well, we'll go with this. We've got Janice K, Loretta, Mary Ellen C, Lori D. Janice, you're going to be up first, followed by Loretta, and please let us know where you're calling from.
Okay, I'm guessing it's time. Hi, Janice K from Oregon. Oh, boy. You know, it was not until I had some solid abstinence under my belt that I began to see the tragedies, the despairing spouse, the effect on the children, the solving of problems. I think that the alcoholic presents very obvious problems. I think our problems are sometimes more subtle and much, much more viciously difficult to root out and deal with. I think that the medical fraternity tends to give up on us because they don't know what's going on. They haven't quite got it. They know that there's no pill. They can offer gastric bypass, but they can't. You have to be in a certain physical condition in order to receive that answer. And there's no promise that that answer is going to work. And the other thing, excuse me. The other word I wanted to comment on was this term, the altruistic movement. Addicts are not known for their generosity. boy, I know that when I am in, when I was in the food, I approached life from an entirely different standpoint. Altruism, giving freely of what we have found, becomes like a required part of the day. One of our closing questions in the nightly exam is, did I help someone today? Oh boy, I sure hope so. The answer needs to be yes on that. So that's what I have to say on the paragraph. Thank you for listening, ITAS.
Well, thank you so much, Janice K. from Oregon. Next up, we've got Loretta, followed by Mary Ellen C.
Good morning, Stephanie, and good morning all, along with my precious God. You are saving my life, as this paragraph says. Eyes wide open, the humility of Dr. Silkworth to see both sides of the coin and know that it's a spiritual altruistic movement that is going to maybe arrest this, and that even though I think he was an agnostic like me, but he actually saw that, and it talks about it in the big book 124 times before we even get to working with others, that this is the way of getting a recovered mind and body. And I've always shared that my abstinence is spiritual, my food plan is a tool, and I believe that because when I keep it, and somebody said Greenpeace the other day, and I want to welcome the newcomers. When I keep it green and see the suffering that really can be very, very damaging, the families and everything, it always reminds me of the movie A Day of Wine and Roses, when she's walking down the street and she leaves her daughter behind because she cannot stop drinking because she sees the world is very dirty. And I'm so grateful today that I don't see the world as dirty, because that I ate because of my isms. I ate because I didn't trust anybody, nor did I want to help anybody. I just wanted to be self-seeking, selfish, dishonest, destructive. And I'm so grateful today that my eyes are wide open, but that Dr. Silkworth's eyes became very wide open, and he humbled himself enough to say he couldn't help, but this altruistic movement could. And so I love my program. I love this way of life. And because of that, today I can call myself a recovered person, but it's only for today. I only have what I have today. And as the first share said, be here now. And now I will find God. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Loretta, but don't go. What's your last initial and where are you calling from?
Good morning. My name is Mary Ellen. My last name is T. T is in Tango.
Oh, go ahead, Mary Ellen.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yep. Oh, you're okay. Go ahead.
Great. Okay, Mary Ellen, T is in Tango from Oregon. And I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, but I'm just recovered today. I have to work daily to have my relationship with my higher power and to be able to see beyond the veil of delusion that my disease constantly puts in front of my face, thinking that I can control my life, I can control my food, I'm abstinent now, it's okay, I'm safe, I'm abstinent, and I don't have to worry, but that's a very false delusion for me, and so my recovery status is very, it's very tenuous. It really is based upon the effort that I put into my recovery. It's based on participating in meetings and working with other fellows. It's based upon that, you know, the last words of this paragraph about, you know, the altruism, and that was a great point that Janice made about just what a blessing. My 11th step review is that it forces me to take a look, you know, how have I been of service today? How have I been of service to other fellows? How have I been of service to the world and to my family and, you know, and to God? And really my service to God should come first. And hearing people's shares on a daily basis and the readings from the Big Book remind me that, you know, this, the whole point of recovery is to develop a relationship with higher power, so that I'm turning to my higher power instead of turning to something to make me feel good, which my first choice is food. And so the Big Book and people's recoveries that they share with me teach me to turn towards my higher power, to turn towards being spiritual, to turn towards being of service to other people, so that I can keep this this tenuous recovery status that I have. Because it takes no time, lickety split, for my disease to tell me that I can manage my food, I can manage my abstinent food. I also wanted to talk about the despairing wives and children and the tragedies. I have had a life just filled with a lot of tragedy. And it's amazing to me that recovery teaches me to look at my life with a lot of gratitude. And it has given me the tools to be able to move past the tragedies that I've experienced. And it's just a, you know, a reminder, you know, I've been married three times. So there's despairing spouses, and I have four children. And so there's definitely many moments of despairing children in which I've been unavailable and checked out and having poor behavior and emotionally coping skills because I was always turning towards escaping. And now I'm turning towards higher power, and I'm turning towards trying to find the recognize when I'm not. And so that's it for me. Thanks so much for letting me share, and for everybody else to share. Take care.
Thank you so much, Mary Ellen C. from Oregon, and Lori D., you're up next.
Hi, this is Lori D. from California. Thanks for hearing me. Thanks for having the meeting today. I was thinking about, you got to love the doctor, right? You got to love the doctor. I had a doctor here in our town, and he happened to be one that would send people to OA meetings. But the funny thing is, I don't know, kind of the despairing thing about it was that he ended up leaving his practice and running a Suboxone clinic. And if you know what Suboxone is, it's a drug that keeps people loaded who are trying not to use, I believe it's heroin. But the thing with Suboxone is you stay loaded. So it was just interesting that, I mean, I'm so grateful for the doctor because they believed in, you know, the idea of total abstinence. And here I personally know a doctor who, while still knowing he was powerless over the compulsive eater and didn't know what to do with it, he would send people there and still really didn't grasp the whole idea of total abstinence, you know, right? So you got to love the doctor, though, who helped us get where we are today. And as far as alternatives, hey, you know what? My little brain thinks about alternatives all the time to the program, like the new pills they have out. What are their pills for diabetes that are helping people, you know, lose weight? And, you know, and I've seen it. I've met people personally who have lost a lot of weight and they claim to lose it easily. But I know I'm a real compulsive overeater, and I've seen enough to know that those pills aren't going to be the answer for me. I don't even have to take them to know that. There's just so much evidence, and I have proven it out over and over and over. I didn't have a gastric bypass, okay? But I certainly meet people every day who have issues with the fact that they did a bypass and they're still struggle with their food problems. So I don't know. I don't need to try all that, you know, thank God. The Big Book talks about raising the bottoms for people, and I think that's a part of the Big Book I really appreciate, because I don't have to do all those things. I can listen to your stories in and out of these rooms and also remember my own and tell my own, which is why I'm on the line talking to you now. I appreciate you. Thank you very much. That I pass.
Well, thank you very much, Lori B. from California. We can take another lineup. But before we do that, if you're just joining us, let me fill you in on where we're at in the big book. We're in the doctor's opinion, and we're on page XXVIII. We're on that third full paragraph, beginning with, if any feel that as psychiatrists, ending with, the altruistic movement now growing up among them. So if you haven't shared, you know, in the last few days on any vision meeting, we'd love to hear you. Please give, please share your first name, your last initial, and where you're calling from. Who would like to share? Would anyone like to share?
Polly Q.
Wondering if I could be heard.
Polly Q.
Polly Q. Okay. Can anyone hear me? All right. Thank you, Polly. I'm live. Okay. who else would like to share?
This is Jane G. in Southern California. I'd like to share.
All right. Gotcha, Jane, correct?
Jane G.
Okay. Jane G.
Christy B. in Washington State.
And that was Christy B. as in boy?
Yes.
All right. Gotcha, Christy. Thank you. Anyone else on this lineup? All right, well, we'll go here and y'all can think about sharing. So I got Polly Q, Jane G, Christy B. We'll start with Polly Q, followed by Jane G. And Polly, please let us know where you're calling from.
Hi, this is Polly Q. I'm calling from Northern California, recovered. Can you hear me?
We can hear you. You're being heard.
I'm freaked out about that whole experience. Okay. So, anyway, this is Polly Q, calling from Northern California. And I thought a lot about this paragraph this morning, and I think that this is the paragraph that really made me fall in love with Dr. Silkworth. Because, you know, I just can't fathom the amount, how destructive it must have looked to him during the days of the Depression with all of this suffering going on, even if you weren't an addict, but then, you know, how profoundly the families were affected by this disease. And also the fact that he put his job on the line by writing about it and going against the norm. It was not, there was, it was, you know, it was a moral, it was a willpower problem. You know, it was a psychological issue, and they weren't making any headway, and then they did. So I think what I always come to with this is that for food addicts, it doesn't look like that exactly. I mean, I'm a food addict. I know how I am when I'm in that food, and I'm out of my mind, and I am miserable to work with, and I am miserable to in my family, and I am just miserable. Or I am faking it, pretending, because I'm on a diet, and boy, I'm losing weight, so all is going to be right with the world this time, and then I gain back more weight. So I look at that situation, and I go, wow, you know, I'm not going to probably end up in the hospital. There will be some that might, but I'm not going to end up in the hospital for that reason. But I can tell you, I remember sleeping on a couch with my legs over the edge because I couldn't find a bed that would support my lower back because of all the weight that was on it. And I slept like that for years in my disease. You know, it's a horrible, diabolical addiction to food because it masks itself as normal. Because, hey, we're high, we go to work, we support the kids, you know, we're happily married, you know, quote unquote. And yet, all this damage is getting done behind the scenes. And it is damage that's caused everywhere because it's so prevalent now, this thing they call obesity, which is really food addiction. And it's everywhere. And it's growing. And so I am so grateful for this movement because we are a small voice right now. Thanks for letting me share.
Oh, thank you so much, Polly Q from California. Next up, Jane G, followed by Christy B.
Good morning. This is Jane G calling from Southern California, just outside Temecula, California. Recovering today by the grace of God. Somebody just mentioned about falling in love with Dr. Silkworth. I can imagine the despair he felt, the hopelessness he felt as a doctor committed to helping when he couldn't help the class of alcoholics, chronically hopeless. And perhaps some of the desperation he felt and the humility that he shows and the willingness, the openness, his own surrender to lack of knowledge and capacity, and his opening the door to allow alcoholics to do that work on the unit where he was. And so I think of some of the spiritual principles of our program and practice these principles in all our affairs. And this is a beautiful paragraph about humility. And one of my first exposures to some of the principles as I began reading the first 164 pages, my gratitude is just enormous this morning for him, for Bill, for everybody who came and walked the steps before me, and for you all.
Oh, Jane, I think we lost you. Jane, we can't hear you anymore.
I'm sorry. I was just saying I'll pass. Thank you.
All right. Wonderful. Thank you so much, Jane G. from California. And next up, we've got Christy B. from Washington.
Good morning. This is Christy B., recovered in Washington State just for today. I love this paragraph. I specifically want to touch, of course, on the family and the destruction that's occurred. My family has been ravaged by this disease and various other addiction diseases, but in specific, my mother committed suicide due to this disease. She had bariatric surgery and she got down to a normal body weight and she couldn't cope with life because she had no idea that she had a living problem and a spiritual problem, not just a physical problem, you know. And I will never forget having to call my sisters and tell them that my mother had committed suicide because of this, you know. And I have been, actually, it was that that drove me into OA, although I have a history with AA and such, but I thought I had it handled because, you know, credits, they should transfer, right? But they didn't transfer. And I became a chronic relapser because the food is so much harder. But, oh, how I wish I could have shared this with my mother. The recovery that's available to us today. And yeah, this is not an easy program, you know, and like it's been said in the rooms, it's not for people who want it. It's not for people who need it. It's for people who do it. And on these rooms, vision in particular, you guys have taught me what I want, that there is recovery available, that there is food neutrality, that I can sit across the table from my husband, watch him eating my previous binge foods and not want it. That is a miracle today. And if it wasn't for Dr. Silkworth being willing to take a chance and put his words out there in this book, there wouldn't be this chance for all of us, you know, and it's just amazing. I remember getting drugged through the rooms of Tops back when I was probably 4 years old because my mother was seeking some sort of a solution to her problem, never knowing that it wasn't the food, you know. And so I am so absolutely grateful today for this program, for all of you, for Dr. Silkworth, and everyone that's contributed to this wonderful program. With that, I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Christy B. from Washington State. We're going to get another lineup. If you would like to share on this paragraph, please give your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from. Who would like to share?
Tanya,
I think B, Tanya?
Tanya P, as in pal.
P. Gotcha. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Charlene N.
Charlene N. And did I hear Sherry?
Yep. Sherry M.
All right.
Wyoming. Thank you.
Sherry M. And we can probably take another one. Anyone else who wants to get in on this lineup? That's okay. We'll go with this. We've got Tanya P, Charlene N, and Sherry M. And Tanya, you're up first, followed by Charlene.
Good morning. Thank you so much for your service. This is Tanya P, recovered in Michigan. This paragraph, somebody's already said, this really represents Dr. Silkworth's surrender to a power greater than himself, because he realizes he doesn't have these gifts to help other alcoholics or to help alcoholic people. The thing that really stands out for me and speaks to me is that they had found nothing which has contributed more to the rehab of these men than the altruistic movement now growing up among them. And this is, you know, where I have benefited the most is from this fellowship of people who have been willing to stand in the way of my own ego and help me set it aside, because I've been pretty bratty to sponsors. And I had one sponsor in particular that said, I'm not going away. You know, be as bratty as you want, but I'm not going away. And that's a true story, is that this fellowship isn't going to go away. It's a gift from our higher power. And I'm so grateful for that. Yesterday, I told my sponsor, I do not understand people who say, I'm so grateful to be a compulsive. I have moments that I'm like, yeah, I'm not grateful for this, but I am grateful to be connected to my higher power. And I'm grateful for all the people who have helped me in those small moments set aside my own desires. As one in particular who really set me on the road, helped me with the next paragraph, you know, men and women drink essentially. That was a turning point in my life. And I just appreciate so much people willing to take outreach calls, willing to take 10 steps, willing to sit with me when I'm heartbroke. And so thank you. Thank you to this fellowship and everyone on the line. And I will pass.
Well, thank you so much, Tanya P. from Michigan. Next up, we've got Charlene N., followed by Sherry N., and please let us know where you're calling from.
Thank you. This is Charlene N., and I'm in Arizona. I just want to say I'm so grateful to be here on the line this morning, and welcome to all the newcomers. This particular paragraph reminds me of some of the reactions I get from my doctors. I have a chronic illness that I have just a bunch of doctors I've been seeing for so many years. And I can see how brokenhearted they've been in the past years, the suffering I have been in because of my weight. And I've been recovered now for about a year and a half. And I remember going to my cardiologist and him seeing the recovery, not just in, the amount of weight that has been released, but also just the transformation, the change in the peace in my mind, the acceptance, the just everything that has changed in me. I've had a complete change in my way of living and who I am. And I remember talking to him the last time and him crying, really crying, because I think that he has so much wanted this change for me. And this, I think, is reflected in this paragraph that doctors on the firing lines, doctors who have treated diabetes and bariatric doctors and just, cardiologists who have seen our struggle and the pain that comes with this terrible disease of compulsive eating, it is a horrible disease, and it does affect. There is so much more tragedy just in our physical health, but in our lives at home and our families, and things begin to heal, things change, and there is so much life that comes back to us, and I am so grateful. And I am grateful for the opportunity to get out of self and be able to help others. And it's not about me today. It's, I don't know how to put it in words, except that I am grateful. I'm grateful for my higher power. I'm grateful for this fellowship and those of you who are on the line today. And I'm mostly grateful for the newcomer, and we're glad that you're here. And with that, I will pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Charlene N. from Arizona. Next, we have Sherry M. from Wyoming.
Good morning. My name is Sherry M., and I'm gratefully recovered in Wyoming. Thank you, Stephanie, for leading the meeting and for everyone doing service. I have just become more and more grateful for Dr. Silkworth as time goes on, and the longer that I am on the firing lines and I see, where our current modern world has taken us. And back when 1939, and when these 100 men got recovered, they didn't have all the pharmaceuticals that are out there now, and they had to, do what was necessary in order to get that spiritual connection. I'm so grateful for, this doctor. It's astonishing, and it's not the common. This is not every doctor, even with everything that everyone can see, with people ODing and everything else. It's still, it'd be hard pressed for me to find a doctor who says, I send people to AA or OA. It's not as common. And I think it really is. I've done so many 10 steps on this in the last 3 weeks because I have come across so many potential sponsees that are on drugs. And the kind of drugs that they're prescribing are there's one that's new that's taking away the obsession. So what does that look like? Here's what it looks like. When you take away my substance and I have nothing else, I'm going to become suicidal, because this is my experience. This is my own personal experience I'm speaking from. I had suicidal ideation. I had immense depression. I had phobia, social phobia. I had anxiety and fear every single day. I had an isolating life. And these are all the bedevilments, and these are things that it tells me I'm going to have in the big book. And then by working the steps and finding this higher power, each and every one of those things was able to be transformed with God. if I don't have the pain, because my experience is that pain is the touchstone to every single transformation I've had. If I'm not disturbed by life and you take away my substance, why would I, you know, the whole point here is to have a deeper connection with my higher power. But if somebody's prescribing me something, then maybe I don't need to do that. So this is just my own personal experience. And I'm grateful for Dr. Silkworth. I'm grateful for the lineage of sponsorship where the big book was the solution. Let's try this first. And then if you still feel that way in 8 weeks, 10 weeks, 12 weeks, then let's, you know, do what you need to do from the medical profession. But try the big book, try the steps, because it really does work. That's the only experience that I have, and that's the experience that I pass on. So thank you so much for letting me share. It's been a really good conversation this week with everybody sharing different opinions on what this doctor's opinion really means. And I appreciate everybody's point of view. I hope everyone has a blessed day. Bye-bye.
Oh, thank you so much, Sherry M. from Wyoming. And we have time for one more person. Who would like to close us out today?
Alexis F. from New Jersey.
Loving W.
I've got Alexis F., I think, or is that F?
F, as in Frank.
F. Gotcha. Alexis, go for it. You got 2.5 minutes, friend.
Okay, it sounds like I'm trying to top everybody else with how terrible this disease is, but I'm only speaking from my experience. About 25 years ago, when I was much younger, I'm 75 now, I was committed to a county institution. And while there, as soon as I got in, my daughter brought in sizes 7 to 28 for me to wear because she didn't know what size I would be while I was there. And she came every day, and it was a very sad thing, a very bad time in my life. But I remember being so nervous that I would go down to the candy shop and buy 10, 12 Reese's peanut butter cups and go in the man who washed the floors, the janitor's closet, and eat these all alone, because if I had a pack of cigarettes and I went outside, everybody would ask me for one, and I'd wind up with none left. So I had to secretly eat my my candy, you know. And when my daughter has the same problem that I do with food. And I've been praying very hard that she's released from that bondage. And when she went to the doctors the last time, she has a bad back, a muscle pull or something. And he said, why don't you get the gastric bypass? That wasn't what she was there for. She was there to solve the problem of her bad back. But some doctors don't understand, you know. And they think the resolution is to have a surgery to solve the problem, because the only thing they know is traditional medicine. And yeah, thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Alexis, for closing us out. And we will now close with the reading from the big book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And will Hillary B. please read A Vision for You?
Yes, sorry. Hillary B. from California. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. Thank you.